Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Has God ever disappointed you? Now, I know we mustn't talk about that, must we? We try to say that, you know, it's God's will, and we try to be faithful, and we try to not get upset. But if we're really honest, there are some times we just feel that God has let us down. I remember as a young pastor going to a lady's house to try to comfort her. Her second child had died. Her first child, these were adult children, had died a few years back from some illness, and the second one was involved in an accident. And she told me how disgusted she was with God. And as a young pastor, it was awfully hard for me to understand that. But she said to me, I prayed and I put my children in God's hands. And I asked for protection for them, and God failed me. Has God ever let you down? The people that Peter was talking to had felt enormously let down by God. See, they were people of faith. They were people who had left everything to follow Jesus. And in the first century, that was quite a feat. Because when you are under a despotic rule, when you are in a totalitarian society, the best thing to do for yourself is to blend in. And if you name the name of Christ, you weren't blending in. Nobody wanted to deal with you. The Jewish folks at that time felt that you were a traitor to the faith, and the pagans certainly didn't want anything to do with you, and there was no protection in the state. But the people of God, the people who had owned Jesus as Lord and Savior, had one great promise. And they were looking for this promise. And the promise was that Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. The interpretation that they had from their scholars and from their teachers said that Jesus was coming back. And that people would not have to die. They would see Jesus and everything would be set out right. Now, when your life is the pits, when you're in poverty, when you're being hounded, when you're frightened for your life, and to know that in my lifetime the heavens are going to open and the Savior that I have trusted is coming back must have been a wonderful hope. And after a while, I guess it dawned on them that that wasn't going to happen because the people of faith started dying. In fact, Paul had to address that. He said, I want to let you know about the people who have gone to sleep, because they thought that everyone in that century who knew Christ was going to see this magnificent second coming of Jesus, and it didn't happen. And so then teachers came in and started to talk to the people of that day, saying, it's a fantasy. What you're believing is just not true. Jesus was an ordinary guy. He might have been a wonderful prophet, but it's just not true. And the evidence is, where is he? And how come our lives have gotten no better since coming to know him? And in most cases at that time, it would have gotten worse. Has God ever disappointed you? So Peter writes to this dispirited people, and he says to them, I've got to tell you something. Things are bad, but I know what I saw. I was an eyewitness to something that was just magnificent. He said, I didn't follow a fable. I saw it with my own eyes. Well, what did he see? Remember the story of the Transfiguration? This comes at a time when Jesus has just told his disciples, he's confirmed that he's God's son and said, oh, and by the way, I'm going to die. And they're not happy with him about that. And so he takes them up to the mountain, and all of a sudden he's completely transformed. What they saw was Jesus as he really was, the Son of the living God, the divinity, the great and glorious. And they only saw that for a split second. It was just as if the curtain was pulled back just a bit so that they could see some of who Jesus was. And then as soon as it had begun, it was over. And the voice of God said, "This is my son, listen to him." And as he's going down the mountain, he tells him, "Don't tell anybody about this until I've been raised from the dead." And they didn't understand what that was either. And then the march was to death. And he said, "I know what I saw. I got a glimpse of the backdrop of eternity." And it was enough for Peter in that moment, in that glimpse, to keep him going for the rest of his mortal life and to tell the people of God, it might not be what you think, and the second coming might not come on your timetable, but I know the God of eternity. It's so easy when we're slogging through this life to forget eternity. It's so easy with our aches and pains. It's so easy with the ice and snow. It's so easy when we're just looking around saying, there's got to be something better, to forget that there is something better, that there's a backdrop of eternity, that we are afforded a glimpse of something that is beyond this life and into the next. And I'm not talking about pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. I'm not talking about that we got to die to feel it and to experience it. It's that glimpse of the presence of God that's afforded to us every time we bow our heads in prayer, every time we come to the communion table and enact that ancient ritual, every time we're in the presence of God, we can get a glimpse, the backdrop of eternity. You want to know why I'm a Moravian? I wasn't born and raised Moravian. I was born and raised in a denomination that was much more exciting than this one. They had praise bands and worship and excellent preaching and all the bells and whistles that go along with a thriving church. Churches I went to were packed every Sunday. And I walked into a Moravian church, and I couldn't figure out the worship service. By the time the offering was taken, I was still looking at the liturgy and trying to figure out where I was. None of the hymns were familiar. The church was falling down around itself. It was a very tiny church. And the first communion was about the worst, because as I sat there and people are standing up and getting down and singing hymns I don't know, and the preacher coming to each person, and I wasn't used to that either. And I remember being in the pew and bowing my head in prayer during the communion service, and all of a sudden, for a brief moment, I felt like if I opened my eyes, I'd see Jesus. That's how powerful he was. That was 1978, and my life completely turned around. We only need that glimpse, and we have an opportunity to glimpse him, to see, to get the curtain pulled, and to experience the backdrop of eternity. During our communion service this time, we won't be singing the hymns. Thought we'd do something a little different and actually listen to God. So often when we pray, we're doing all the talking and then we walk away and don't listen for the answer. So often in our services, we're doing all the singing and all the stuff and we're not listening. But this communion service, I want you to listen for the voice of Jesus. I want you to ask him to take the curtain and just pull it back a moment so that we can experience the power and the presence of the Almighty. We are sitting the backdrop of eternity. Eternity has come here in the presence of Christ and is wanting to minister to us today. If you've ever been disappointed with God, Listen to him today. Allow the Spirit to heal that peace that has been so broken. Let the Lord speak to us today. Let us pray. Lord, so often we have wanted to put you on our agenda. So often our lives seem to be crowded with sorrow and with trouble. Lord, we ask this day as we humbly wait for you that we might get a glimpse of your presence today, that glimpse that will take us through this week, that will give us the strength for whatever happens in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.